Hey, welcome to Life Church. We pray this blesses you and empowers you for your week ahead. We hope you enjoy this message.
So good to see you today. Doesn't the building look great? It's gone all Christmassy. It's only November. Chill out. It's Christmas. We've got to milk it. It's good. We've got to celebrate. It's good to celebrate, isn't it? And I just want to point out again, so good what we've been able to do through our partnerships, through your generosity, church, as Shirley pointed out with these toys and the other things we're doing. It's just amazing. We're praying. Let's stay in prayer that every single toy, every single package, every single thing that we do to help our community goes out as a seed that demonstrates the love of Jesus. Amen. Let's be praying over that. And I know we're going to hear great stories on the other side of it. And I love that we've been able to partner with different organizations in our city and play our part in our local community. It's been so good to see. And I love particularly that we've been able to partner with other churches. And you know, this week I had Reverend Tim Thomas come down from St. John's West Bowling, and he came and they took gifts to give to the low-income families that they work with, people that are struggling in their community. And it was just great to be church together, to stand shoulder to shoulder. And I was also this week down at the food bank, one of Bradford's food banks, and we've been able to, this week we will be kitting out their Santa's Grotto, just full of toys. And it's a bit of a different Santa's Grotto. Santa isn't in the grotto. There's no Santa. Basically, when people come for a food package and that 3 days help of a food parcel, they'll be invited to go into Santa's Grotto and just pick totally for free 3 toys for their kids. So they're not given a toy and they don't know what it is. They can go and they just go and choose. You choose toys for your kids and they go and give those. So it's just brilliant. So thank you, church. And as I said, let's keep praying over those. Well, the message I want to share with you this morning is not the message I was planning to share with you this morning. I had a great message planned, church. It was so good. But this week, as I was praying and seeking God, it probably wasn't that good, to be honest. As I was praying and seeking God, I felt just a real change of direction. And it's a word, I think, just a passage in the Bible that has really spoken to me. And it's a word for this season, I think. And by this season, I don't mean the Christmas season. Okay, we'll just pause on the Christmas celebration for a moment. I'm just aware that in this season, there is a lot of challenge in our world. And there's particularly a lot of economic challenge. And it's affecting businesses, it's affecting charities, it's affecting the world around us, it's affecting their employees, i.e. us. It's affecting us all. And there's a lot of challenge out there. And as I was thinking about that, somebody dropped this word into my heart, and I just can't get away from it. And so I kind of wanted to bring a really exciting Christmas message today, but I really feel we're going to dig into this. And I believe that it's going to strengthen us, it's going to encourage us, it's going to help us remember that He is in control, it's going to fill our hearts with faith and understand that He will see us through, because He is faithful. He is over all, He is the name above all names, and we're going to dig into that together. I just want to say as well at the outset of this, because I am going to talk about finances a little bit, I just want to say a massive thank you, church, for your faithfulness in giving. Because, you know, earlier in the year we stood here and we shared about our Faith Forward offering. And it's just enabled us to continue to do all that we've been able to do this year. Not just here in Bradford, but we think about the change and the difference we've been able to make in Warsaw, and seeing how they're starting that education center for those refugees that are on the doorstep of that church, and so many other things. But here's just one statistic I want to encourage you with, because it's so much more than a statistic. This year, to date, if you include Rock Nations and Excel's conference, we have seen 198 people give their lives to Jesus. Come on, that is worth a bigger round of applause. And we've seen 54 people get baptized in that time. Come on, that's worth another round of applause. And so I just want to thank you, church, for your diligence, for your faithfulness, so that we can do all that God has called us to do. But as I said, we are facing difficult economic times. It's leading us to make difficult decisions, and the church is not immune from that. But when I heard this passage, it really resonated with me. And it's resonated with me on a personal level, and I think it'll resonate with you. But I believe there's also a message here for us as the church, as his body. So we're going to read in a moment in 2 Kings 3, but let me just give you the context first. Are you ready? Yeah. Give the person the nudge next to you and say, I'm ready. I'm ready. Okay. Now nudge your second choice and say, I'm ready. Okay. Great. Brilliant. This is a part of the history of the people of God, of Israel. And it's in a book of Kings, which is unsurprisingly about kings. And it's a time full of war, and it's a very troubling time, and there's different kings over different tribes and territories. And in this passage, we find there's one king called Mesha, who's the king of the Moabs. Effectively, in this story, he's the baddie, okay? That's the part that we need to get our heads around. And there's three kings come together because this king has been defiant and causing problems. He's effectively the enemy. And they decide that they will set out on a mission to defeat this king. And there's a guy called Jehoshaphat, who's one of the kings, and he's the king of Judah. He's God's representative, and he goes with the king of Israel, the king of Judah, and the king of Edom. And the three kings, it's like a Christmas story, I should have called it the three kings. The three kings set out to defeat the enemy, to take on the challenge that is ahead of them. And there's one particular point I want to make at the end of this, which is where I want to land it. But as I've prayed about it this week, I want to make two stops along the way, because I feel that God's got something for us in them. So I'm going to read to you for the first passage is 2 Kings 3, verses 9, 10, and 11. So they're on the way to defeat the king. And it says this, the king of Israel, the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, they're the three kings, started out on what proved to be a looping detour. After 7 days, they had run out of water for both the army and the animals. The king of Israel said, bad news. God has gotten us three kings out here to dump us into the hands of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, isn't there a prophet of God anywhere around through whom we can consult with God? We'll leave it there and we'll join the story a little bit more. So they've set off on a mission. And let's be honest, it's not gone how they thought it would go. It's not going to plan. They thought they would march out. God is with them. They would defeat the enemy and come back and everything will work out. Because that's how life always works, isn't it? We always just set out. Everything works out exactly as we planned. There's no problems and we just get to where we want to go and we win the battle. Is that everybody's? Nobody else? No. Okay. No, that's what I thought. It doesn't always work like that. It took way longer than they thought to get there. They ended up doing this huge detour and they're not where they want to be. And now they find themselves running out of provision. Basically, there's no water. They've been out for 7 days and they're not where they need to be. And now they're running out of provision to do what God has asked them to do. Has anybody ever felt like that? That you set out to do what God's calling you to do and then you get there and you think, this isn't what I planned. You told me to move to Bradford, Lord, but I still don't have that house. You told me to step into that new job. Why is the boss a nightmare? You told me, God, that my kids would be in that school, but why are they struggling? We're obedient, and yet it doesn't all just fall into place, does it? We find ourselves in the middle of things. I mean, did you think you'd be here now in the situation that you're in right now? I don't think any of us plan our life to that level. You find yourself in life, and sometimes you think, how did I get here? This wasn't my plan. I didn't think, and there's some things that we're grateful for, but there's other things that we're really challenged by, and you think, it's not really what I would have chosen, but it shouldn't really be a surprise to us because the Bible is very clear. We're all on a journey. That's what the Christian life is. It's a journey. So many passages about, you know, run the race that's marked out for you. You know, walk out your faith in fear and trembling, the Bible said. Our faith journey is a journey to be the people that God has called us to be. And there's a promise in the Bible which nobody has up on a fridge magnet, which says, in this world you will have trouble. Yeah. And so we get surprised, but actually, as we read through the Old Testament, we think about the Israelites on their journey to the Promised Land. God said to them, go into the Promised Land I've given you. All right, we'll just walk straight in. Oh, but there's giants there. There's fortified cities. There's all these problems. There's lots of enemies there. Why? Because just because God said it doesn't mean there's not something for us to do. Because he's got us on a journey, and he's growing us, and he's helping us. And the first sort of little stop I want to take on the way is this. It says here that they went on a detour. They went on a detour. And I believe it's for somebody in here today, or maybe you're watching online. If you feel like your life is on a detour, God can still redeem it. You might feel this is not where you wanted to be. This is not the life I had planned. I didn't make the choices that I thought I would make. I didn't get to where, I'm not where I want to be by the time I want to be at it. And you think, wow, it's just been one big detour. I've ended up so far away from where God's called me to be. I just want to say to you, he can redeem it. He can bring you back around. I know that it says in the Bible that the road to, it's that we walk the narrow path, doesn't it? But that narrow path is about salvation. It's not about destiny. The narrow path is Jesus. There's only one way, but on the other side of that, the path to your destiny can have so many different routes. You have not surprised God by going off what you think is the map. There's not just one road to your destiny. He can call you back from wherever. He's the King. He's the King of heaven. He can do anything. He can take you from the most unlikely circumstance and get you into your destiny, and you won't even believe it. Why? Because he is faithful. He is sovereign. He is over it all. He can change all circumstance to get you to where you need to be. So I want to encourage you today, if you feel like you've been on a detour, he can redeem it, and he can bring you back. And just with that, I want to say, there's some of you in here, you have a sense of regret and a sense of guilt, which is holding you from coming back. Because where you've ended up, you realize it's from the choices you made, and now you carry the, I wish I'd never made that decision, and I should have never done that, and now you feel guilt from it. Let me just say this to you, there is no condemnation for he who is in Christ. And when we read and we get all excited, you know, salvation, he wipes the slate clean. He didn't just do it when you came to meet him. Jesus wipes your slate clean every single day. He can take your regret. He can take your fear. He can take that bitterness. He can take that disappointment. And you can walk afresh. You can only start from where you are. And he will meet you where you are. So that's the first little stop. Oh, that is a detour. And the point, first little stop is a detour. The second thing I want to point out on the way to the real meat of this is that the signs that I want us to see. In verse 10, the king of Israel, he said, this is bad news when they got stuck. God has gotten us three kings out here to dump us into the hand of Moab, who was the enemy. And what we know about Joram, the king of Israel, was that he was trying to kind of be a godly guy, but he kind of had one foot in and one foot out. He wasn't really obeying God. He wasn't walking alongside God. And what happened was that negativity is starting to creep into his world because he's not focusing on God. And in it all, you have then Jehoshaphat stood next to him. He says, isn't there a prophet of God anywhere around through whom we can consult with God? What you have is Joram looking at the problems and the circumstance, and Jehoshaphat looking at God. And as we encounter Challenge Church, I just want to ask, are you a Joram or are you a Jehoshaphat? Because we can look at the problem, we can look at the circumstance, and we can get angry with God and we can curse God, or we can do what Jehoshaphat did and turn our attention and turn our eyes to him. The question is basically this. When we hit rough times, do we run to God or do we run away from him? Because it's so easy to get upset and think this is, the challenge is difficult, and our reaction is to hide and to run from God. And to be angry with God for, God, you should have done this. And God stood there going, yeah, but I'm here to help you. I'm here to journey it through with you. And one of the things I've noticed over the years as a pastor is how many times people face difficult times and they do the exact opposite of what they should do, which is they take themselves out of church. They take themselves out of the community of God. They take themselves out of the life group. Oh, I just can't come this Tuesday because I just feel, you know, I did something and now I feel bad. Whoa, that's the exact opposite of what you should do. When tough, I know I'm preaching in the choir here, but when the tough times hit, that's exactly when we should dig into God. That's exactly when we should press in and press into Him. And as I was praying about this and thinking about it, I was actually thinking about you that are watching online. So I'm just going to talk to them for a minute. Is that okay? I'm talking to you, but just where are you? Where's that camera? Just need to eyeball you. Online is fantastic, isn't it? What a blessing having online is, because you can, for whatever reason, if you're unable to be here or geographically, if you're not here, you can watch. But I really felt this sense of there's somebody watching, and you're watching here. I don't know if you're watching live or later in the week, but you could get here, but you're not here because you've either been hurt or you've taken an offense or something has happened in church and you feel condemned or guilty or some kind of shame or guilt. And I just want to look you in the eyeball and say, come home. Come home. Come home. It is time to come home. I had a real sense as I was praying, there are prodigals that are going to come home. It's all forgiven. His grace is sufficient for it all. I want to see you in church next week. And in fact, if that's you, I want you to come and introduce yourself to me next week in church. Come and say hi. And if it helps you this week, I want you to read the story of the prodigal son every day this week. And then come to church next week, because God is going to do something amazing in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm being obedient. Now, the two things God wanted me to share on the way. Now, this is where we get to. So they're in the wilderness. There's no provision. They've set out to do what God has called them to do, but the provision is lacking. And Jehoshaphat says, okay, let's inquire of the Lord. Now, for them, because this is before Jesus, and Jesus is the one that allows us to speak directly to God, they didn't have that. So they had to talk through the prophets to God. So he calls out Elijah, who's a prophet. And Elijah gives them the word. Jehoshaphat says, Elijah, what should happen? And this is what Elijah says to them. This is what he commands them. Verses 16 to 19. He then said, that's Elijah, God's word to you is this. Dig ditches all over this valley. And here's what will happen. You won't hear the wind. You won't see the rain. But this valley is going to fill up with water. And your army and your animals will drink their fill. This is easy for God to do. He will also hand the king of Moab over to you. Elijah, in that scripture, it's interesting. That's from the Message translation. In the NIV, it doesn't use that word ditches, but when I looked at the original language, that word ditches means either pits or ditches or wells. And it's all over the Old Testament. And it's the idea of this provision of water, that water would come in, but it would soon leak away. So they would dig ditches and wells to hold the water, to hold what God was doing, to hold that provision. And God's answer to their problem was obedience. God's answer to their problem had an action attached to it. And this is the word, and this is the word that I felt for my life, over your life, and for our life together as a church. We are called to dig ditches. We are called to dig ditches. We are called to get ready for what God is going to do. He is going to do something. And it says here, you can't even see it. It says there, you won't hear the wind and you won't see the rain. Because normally if the ditches are going to fill up with water, there has to be some, like a rain cloud or a thunderstorm. They must see something in the clouds. And God's saying, no, and this time, you ain't going to see the rain. You ain't going to see the clouds. You don't know how it's going to happen. It looks like nothing is happening, but I am going to bring provision. I'm going to fill up the ditches if you get ready. It seems a waste of time. You can imagine that the last thing that they wanted to do, they're out there, they're dehydrated. It's a struggle. They feel like God's not come through for them. And the word comes to them and says, great, get the spades out and start digging. Yeah. Oh, really, Lord? Can you not just break? It's like, no. You need to do all that you can do first. If you want to see the provision, you want to see my overflow, I want you to do everything that you can do. I want you to take that step of obedience and go, at the end of the day, God, we have done everything that we can do. I've done everything that I can do, God, and now it's over to you because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his Spirit. You know that verse I keep coming back to, that his grace is sufficient and his power is made perfect in our weakness. When you get to the end of yourself, that is where you meet God. That's where God gets interested. He's saying, right, have you done everything that you can do? And he says this to him, I want you to dig ditches. You won't see it coming, you won't see it in the natural, but do what you can do. Dig ditches. In a tough place, dig ditches. And I want to ask you this morning, where do you feel you are running out? Where do you feel there's a lack? Where do you feel stretched? Where do you feel I need to see that provision? Where do you feel I'm done? And God's saying, get the shovel. If it has to be a tiny little bucket and spade, sandcastle shovel, if that's all you can manage, what's the best ditch that you can dig? What can you still do to see God's breakthrough, to see his provision? It might be as simple for you as this, well, I'm done with that, but I could send a text. I'm struggling, God, but I can apologize. I'm struggling, God, but I can commit to prayer for that person. That might be all that you have. I don't know, God, but I feel like I've done, but maybe I could ask for help. Maybe I could actually turn up to life group this week. What's the best, what's the all that you've got left to dig that ditch to say, God, you now have to do the rest. I've done the best that I can do. And I love that it says you won't hear it, you won't see it. Because we have preconceived ideas, don't we, of how God is going to meet the need. We think, well, this will happen. The cloud will come in. I'll do this. The cloud will come. The river will flow and this will happen. And God said, no, forget all of that. Don't you worry about the how. Don't try and reason it away. Just do that act of obedience, which is your faith, which activates God to see what he will do. And I love this scripture because it says at the end, this is easy for God to do. It's easy for God to do. And we look at it and we think, God, it's so hard, but how's it going to come through? How are we going to get through this, God? How will this turn around? God's like, well, it's easy. But I need you to move. I need you to respond. I need you to dig the ditches. And I love that what follows after their obedience, after they've done all that God's asked them to do and they want to, and they dig these ditches, God says, I'm not only going to fill these ditches. I'm not only going to provide for you in this moment, but I'm going to give you victory over your enemy. I'm going to do over and above what you expect. I'm not just going to meet your immediate need right now. I'm not just going to meet the sustenance that you need for this moment, but you are going to be victorious. I'm going to send a flood of provision. I'm going to send a rain of to fill you up, and you are going to be victorious over your enemies. And I believe God is speaking that over every single one of us and over this church. But our part in it is to dig ditches. Have we done everything that we can do? Have we done all that we can do to see his victory? And I just want to say to you this morning, expect God to come through. Expect again. And where you've given up, where you thought, well, just don't see how it's going to happen. He's not asking you to see how it's going to happen. He's asking you to find that faith. It might be faith you feel as small as a mustard seed. But have faith again. Lift your head up. Believe again today, church, that he can come through. That he's been faithful before and he'll be faithful again. He is over it all. He is sovereign. Don't give in. Create space for God to move. What is the ditch that you can dig today? Where there's that challenge, what is the space that you can create, that expect? Maybe it's in your family. You've got to create a space for that reconciliation or for that prayer time or for that just building something that you feel is lacking in your family. Maybe it's in your work. Maybe you need to dig ditches at work or in your finance. But I just want to encourage you. Let's continue to do all that we can do because God is going to send his rain. He is sending a flood that we don't understand, but he wants to do it because he wants you to display his glory in your life. And at the end of the day, it's an easy thing for God to do. Amen? Now, I want us to take that thought, whatever that lands for you, and we'll pray over that at the end of the service, whatever that means for you. I just want to talk to us as the body, as the church right now, because I believe this is a word, not just for us individually, but to us as a church. And as I said, I hadn't planned on speaking about this today, and I hadn't planned on asking what I'm about to ask today. But having read that scripture, I feel that, again, I have to be obedient to God and to do what God is asking us to do. And it's no coincidence that I think God has given us that scripture in a time of financial challenge. And I'm going to be honest with you, church, it's a time of quite pressing financial challenge for us as a church. I know that won't be a surprise when you look around the world and around our community, how, as I said, businesses and charities have their struggles. We have challenges right now, and some of them are very pressing. But God has us, and I know he is going to bring the flood. I know he is going to bring the rain. But the challenge is, we have to have made sure that we've dug all of our ditches. And so, as I said, I wasn't planning on bringing this today, but I feel we have to operate, not just individually, but as the family of God, we have to operate and be obedient to that command to dig ditches. And what does that mean right now? What I'm asking is that we think again about our giving. And I know you give so faithfully, week in, week out, month in, month out. And I know, I mean, the response to our Faith Forward offering in June was just absolutely amazing. But before God sends the rain, I want to ask, have we dug all the ditches that we can dig? And you might say right now, I can't give anymore. That's okay. I don't want anybody to feel under compulsion. Don't want anybody to feel under pressure. Maybe you can do a little bit. Maybe you can dig a small ditch right now. Fantastic. Maybe you've got a big JCB and you can dig a massive ditch all on your own. Praise God. It's not about the amount. It's about the obedience of our hearts, because I believe God is going to provide for this church. It's his church. He's going to provide to do all that he has put in our hearts to do. But he's asking his people to be obedient first, saying, can you go and dig your ditches? Can you give to the best of your ability so that I can bring the provision? So what I'm asking us, church, is that next Sunday, we're going to receive an offering. It's going to be a special, just a one-off offering on top of our normal tithes and offerings. And I know, as I said, I hadn't planned on standing up here just before Christmas and asking to take an offering. But I believe it's the right thing to do. I believe God is calling us to do something special and different and take that time to say, God, we have done the best that we can do. And whatever the amount, as long as it's the best that we can do, I believe God is going to honor it. He's going to bring his provision. He's going to bring fresh water. And here's the great thing. That provision will not just be for us, but it will be create victory that will flow out from here and feed and water so many people. It's going to provide for so many more. Just think, 198 salvations this year. God loves that. I know we love that, but there's a party in heaven for every single one of those people that got saved. And so next week, we're going to receive an offering together. I'm going to take time to do that. And I just would ask that you just pray. What can you do? Just speak to the Holy Spirit this week and say, God, what would you have me do? And as I said, I want to reiterate, I don't want anybody feeling under pressure to give. Don't give what you haven't got. Don't be under pressure, but do speak to God about it. Do ask the Holy Spirit, what would you have me do? And I believe that together, God is going to do something special. We're going to see his provision. We're going to see his flood. And God is going to steer us through in an amazing way. And we're going to tell testimonies of what God has done. Just like we've seen his provision with these toys and other things, we're going to see God's provision over and over again. And I'm believing that for your life as well. Can we stand together? I'd love to pray over us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yeah, Father God, I thank you for every person here today. God, and we come to you knowing that we're on a journey together, Lord. And I just pray over anybody that with that sense today, God, that they've been on a detour and they're not where they want to be, Father. God, I just pray that you help them understand that you're bringing them home, God. You've redeemed them, Father. There's nobody that is too far gone for you. I just pray that you give them a hope and a confidence of how you're leading them, Father. You strengthen them today. Thank you, Jesus. And Father God, as your people, help us to turn to you when we face challenge. God, I pray for every single person that is facing a challenge, whether it be at work, in finance, in family, in health, Father, right now, whatever it is, I pray that as they turn to you, they will find you as their strength today. That as they seek you, God, they will find you. I pray they understand the truth of your word, that your grace is sufficient and your power is made perfect in our weakness. Oh God, we receive your strength right now. Thank you, Lord. And God, we just commit now as your people to do our part. As you do what only you can do, Lord, we commit afresh to do the part that only we can do. To speak when we need to speak, to stay quiet when we need to stay quiet, to send that text, to welcome that person, to reach out, whatever it is, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just take a moment to think about what that challenge is in your world right now. And what God is asking you to do. Don't get concerned about how he's going to do it, but what is he asking you to do? It might be the tiniest step. Something might come in your brain, you think, that's the smallest ditch in the world. Hey, it still counts, if that's what he's asking. Just take a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, now we come to you as your body, as your church. Jesus, you're the head of this church. Thank you that you've called us to serve you in this generation, God. Thank you that you've brought us together, all different types of people, all different types of background, but you've put us together as your family, God. We're so grateful for this family. God, I pray right now that as we stand in this place where we're faced with challenge and provision can seem lacking, Father God, I thank you that there is no lack in you. It's an easy thing for you to do, God. And we come to you as your body in obedience to you, God, and say, would you speak to us? Would you help us do the best that we can do, God? And believe that we're going to see a miracle on the other side. God, we thank you that you are the God of the breakthrough. You are the God of the impossible. You are the God of the over and above. You're an overcoming God. You're a faithful God. You're a good God who leads his people into victory. And God, thank you that you are watching us with excitement, Father, because you are waiting to unleash the power of heaven over us. We stand in the authority of Jesus' name, God, and we ask for your blessing as we do what we can do. God, we believe that you are going to do so much more than we could ask, hope, or imagine, Father God, because you are all powerful. God, we believe we're going to see provision like never before. We're going to see a flood like never before. Thank you, Father God, that you are good. Thank you that we never have to fear in you, Lord. Because you are good. You are faithful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just ask that you do something in our heart. The deep would call to deep right now. That you would lead us as your church. God, we just submit afresh to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I'd love us to just worship as we close and just spend a bit of time just speaking to God. And just...
Thanks for joining us. We pray you feel encouraged by this word. We would love to hear from you, so why not connect with us via the website at lifechurchhome.com or on our socials at Life Church Home. Have a blessed week and we'll see you soon.